lessons from the fig trees. Notice I said fig trees. While the lesson will surround one fig tree mainly, because Jesus Christ has spoken about fig quite often in the Bible, one of the famous lessons, a parable of Jesus Christ, is taken from the passage of Luke chapter 13 and verse 6 following, the fruitless fig tree. Surprisingly, in today's lesson, it is about another fruitless fig tree, but this one takes a different swing from the one in the passage of Luke chapter 13. There are some, let us hear the passage. That is Mark chapter 11, verse 12, 13, and 14.
And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee thereafter forever. And his disciples heard it.
Step to verse 20 and 21 also.
And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said
unto
him,
That is the fig tree dried up overnight because of the curse that Christ put on it. When they passed the following morning, the disciples were shocked, and they brought it to Jesus' attention. So start again at verse 20.
And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou curseth is withered away.
You may stop there. The fig tree which you curse is withered away. There are some who feel that the cursing of the fig tree was a vindictive act. And such an act was not worthy of our gracious Savior. You see, it's difficult for some people to see Jesus Christ as being stirred. We have come so much to use to the Jesus meek and mild that if and when Jesus Christ take a judicial act and judgment, it seems to us out of place. It must be kept in mind that there is a difference between a person acting judiciously like a judge and a person acting vindictively out of personal hurt. There is a total difference. When a judge sentenced the man to life imprisonment, it's not out of vindictiveness. It's a judicial act. The crime that the man or woman commit call for that type of punishment. The judge can sentence him to 50 years in prison, and when court finish, the judge pack up and go in a house and forget it. Because it's not because the judge is suffering from any hurt that criminal did. No. It's the criminal action and what the law dictates. So the judge's action was a judicial thing. It was not a vindictive personal thing. But apart from the mere naked act of Jesus Christ, apart from the fact of Christ feeling hungry and at a distance saw the fig tree and felt that some fig should be on it, and when he came found none, of course Christ was disappointed. But apart from all that disappointment and Christ's action against our curse against the fig tree, there is the moral and the spiritual lesson for us. And that is what this lesson or this study is about. The lesson that relates to you and me from what Christ has done. It is to be noted, and it must not be missed, that the fig tree gave Jesus Christ reason to come with high expectation. Brother Mitchell, you know, I don't see that. How comes the fig tree cause Christ to come with high expectation? The basis of Jesus' expectation is stated in verse 13. Let us hear verse 13 of chapter 11.
And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon.
There is that subtle, like, drop along, and seeing the fig tree afar off, having leaves. Now, if you are talking about a tree, you expect it to have leaves. So that the writer, Mark, dropped that in, is telling us that that is a key point. And seeing the fig tree, you don't have to tell us. When a person is speaking about a tree, you expect the tree to have leaves. Now, if it is a dried up tree, that's the time you expect the person to drop something like that in, that the tree was dried up. But normally, you're talking about tree, you expect the tree to have leaves. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that's key. You see, it's the nature of the fig tree to start its bearing a fig, then afterward the leaves come out. That's one of the key issues in understanding what is happening here. You go and do your research, And the botanist will tell you that fig, by its very nature, it's usually send forth, bear forth its fruit. Then afterward, the leaves come out. May I turn it around? In other words, once you see leaves, the fig tree is telling you fruit is somewhere here. Because its leaves come after its fruit. Read the passage again. Verse 13.
And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves.
Here again. May I? So for Jesus Christ, it was a natural expectation that with the leaves on the fig tree fully developed, it was natural for Christ to approach that fig tree with the expectation to find figs on the tree. Ladies and gentlemen, but wait. But Jesus Christ's physical hunger seemed to take second place to the spiritual and moral lesson. The fig tree, full of leaves, was totally fruitless. This is deception. The fig tree, by doing that, was fooling up a lot of people. The first blessing pronounced on man by God at the beginning was productiveness. That's right. The first blessing that God pronounced upon his creature man was fruitfulness. That is found in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 and 28. To be productive. Of course, that there in Genesis chapter 1 is talking about biology. But being fruitful in other ways is one of the bypass word of the gospel. We'll be looking on a few of those passages this morning. The fig tree was cursed not for being fruitless. Wait. Every fruit in the world, there are times when they are fruit. They are without fruit. Every fruit. There's no fruit in the world that just keep bearing every day. No. They have a season when they do not bear. So the fig tree was not cursed. Wait, somebody said, but Brother Mitchell, the passage also said it was not the season for fruit. Then the fig tree, should not have sent out those leaves to deceive people. Because when Jesus Christ saw it from a distance and saw the leaves on it, he said, I'm lucky. So Christ rushed to the fig tree, expecting fig, because if you see the leaves, the fruit usually come before the leaves. But I repeat what I've just said, that it was not cursed because of its fruitlessness, but it was cursed because it was false. That's right. It was false. It was full of leaves, or having the, let's bring in, I said it was full of leaves. Still talk about the fig tree, but let's, while I speak about the fig tree, let me bring in the moral aspect, bring in the human agency. And that is the fig tree full of leaves, but no fig. As it should be that the bearing of figs would be there before the leaves. In a sense, it represents Christians who profess to be children of God, to be true believers, showing some appearance of spirituality, but they are destitute of the fruit which Christ expects. That's right. And the moral lesson in the passage applies to the Jews as a people, and it applies to members of the body of Christ. The cursed fig tree symbolizes or is a type of all or any man or woman calling him herself a Christian who express faith in Christ, who claim to be a child of God, but they are without the living manifestation that show what a child of God is. A child of God is in one form or the other, is always productive for Jesus Christ. That's right. It's no big thing to be claiming to be true children of God, but not showing the fruit to a company that claim. Spiritual fruitfulness. What did I say? Spiritual fruitfulness or spiritual productiveness is imperative in discipleship. If you and I are going to be true disciples in God's sight, we must always be producing for Jesus Christ. That's a part of it. Wait. It matters not what we say. It matters not what we feel. If that productiveness, fruit bearing, is not there. at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. And then hold Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. And then John, St. John, chapter 2, chapter 15, verse 2 to verse 8. Let us first look at 2 Peter.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful.
Notice the word unfruitful. You get the drift? That is, when we grow and develop in Christ, we must never be unfruitful spiritually. You see the passage the brother has just read, 2 Peter chapter 2, and what verse was that?
2 Peter 1, verse 8.
Notice, it lists, add to faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge. And it lists there the progress we are to make as Christians. And the growth that are to take place in our lives as Christians from the time we became Christian. But notice, part of the end product of growth is being fruitful. When the fruitfulness is not there, it matters not what we claim. Read that again quick, brother.
For if these things be in you,
that is, if you grow and develop, progress,
and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge.
See, Christ doesn't want us to be unfruitful. Everybody gets it? That's a part of Christianity, that we, among other things, reproduce ourselves. Any so-called growth that does not lead to productiveness and fruitfulness, that growth is null and void. That's why the Bible uses word, like in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the word edify. The word edify is used so many times. And in that passage, what the Bible is that whatever you and I do in the church, for the church, we must always think in terms of adding to the church's growth. Are we all there? Both quantitative growth and qualitative growth. Whatever we do. If you don't believe me, go and make a study of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And chapter 12, edification. Should be the goal. We have read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Let us hear Hebrews. And this is an illustration that the Hebrew writer used, and Carl Mitchell is using it too from Hebrews. Chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 8.
For the earth with drinketh in the rain.
Watch here now. It's using, should I say, the dumb earth? Was it Solomon who said we should learn from the ants? I was at the house one day this past week, I don't remember if it's Thursday or Friday. And of course we have some mesh at the place for mosquitoes and flies. So I'd use the little swipe thing and kill a fly. And the fly fell on the floor. So while I sat there, I think I was eating. You see the fly, like the fly, I move. But I looked down and couldn't see anything. Me only see the fly move, and me wonder if my eyes are fooling me. And me look down, me see the fly move. When I got closer, it was two ants moving the big fly. And I said, my God, how that it would take dozens of those ants to make up that fly. And yet the two ants were moving him. And I said, no doubt Solomon asks us to learn from the ants. Where are we coming from, brother? About Hebrews?
Hebrews 6, verse 7.
Hebrews 6, verse 7, the illustration that the Hebrew writer used with the dumb earth. The ants look dumb, but they are sensible. Read.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain.
Listen, it's an illustration, you know, but we need to learn from it. And it's about productiveness. For the earth which drinketh in the rain.
That cometh oft upon it.
That cometh often upon the earth, upon the soil.
And bringeth forth herbs.
Wait, when that earth, using all the opportunities given to it, the rain, when that earth use properly those opportunities and become a productive earth, that earth is blessed. Mm-hmm. Brother Mitchell, you're adding to God's word. Brother, read it. Let them hear seminar add to it.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it,
mm-hmm.
and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God.
Wait, don't move. Everybody get it so far. But what you don't want to pass is the fact that when the earth get what it ought to get, it is expected to be productive. You see that? It bring forth herbs and fruit for those who work in the soil. And because it is productive, it is blessed by God. But watch here now. Read.
But that which beareth thorns.
But when the same earth, having gotten the same blessing, but instead of producing worthwhile fruit and eatable things, it produces
thorns and briars.
Brother, say like we country people, maca.
Maca.
That's right. Instead of producing fruit that is edible, the earth produces thorns. You rather call it prickle? Okay, that's okay with me. And that's an illustration the Bible is using. Brothers and sisters, that when you and I receive God's blessing, week after week you hear a lesson. Those who are spiritual and willing enough to avail themselves of Wednesday night Bible study to learn more, you get all that knowledge. And you know one place in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians, tell me that it is what? Treasure? Am I right? That this treasure is vested in earthen vessel. All this knowledge and encouragement and enlightenment that you get week after week, my God, it should mold you into a brother or sister that is producing more tangible result for Jesus Christ. And the illustration about the earth is applicable to every one of us. Are we all there? That when the earth properly use up all the attendance given to it, all the nourishment of the rain and the gardener that tend to it, when the earth produced worthwhile things, God blessed that earth. But when that same earth, are we all there? Get the rain, but all it produces is prickle, maca. It tells us that the earth is only good for what? Burning?
Is rejected and is nigh unto cursing.
Nigh unto cursing.
Whose end is to be burned.
Everybody gets that? What the passage like this is teaching us? Jesus Christ always expects us to be productive. You can't, don't take satisfaction in coming church once or twice or 7 days a week and you feel holy about that. No. I always liken to worship to like a car going up to the gas station to be refueled. Yes, when the car drives up to the gas station, it is to be refueled, to get gas. But the gas it gets there, it's not used there at the gas station. It's when the owner of that vehicle have got about business all over. It's when we come here, you can liken it to, you come to be refueled. Now, make sure that you use up all that you get to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ's name and the cause of Christ as you go about all over the island, all over the city, during the week. That's why I encourage Christian, the sisters, walk with a few tracks in your purse. If you are conscious about your responsibility, walk with a few. And you know what? Read them to acquaint yourself in respect to what they deal with. So you will know the right one to give this one to and the right one to give that one to. We have a risk. Remember, the earth going to use up the mineral that it gets from the rain and the attendance it gets from the garden, it's going to use that up in one of two ways, either positively or negatively. All that you get from a sermon, a Bible study, a prayer session, God expects it to work in being productive for the honor of God's name. You and I must make sure it is productive. The illustration that the inspired writer used in the book of Hebrews is about being productive. It's about God's expectation. Look at John chapter 15. Let us hear verse 2.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
You get the idea here from the master that you live for bearing fruit. You may ask the question, Brother Michel, what the fruit you refer to? Is it the fruit of the Spirit as listed in Galatians? Let me not right here so now deal with that. I may make a statement about that. May I? Before I comment on John, don't ever forget that almost every brother and sister here, and even men and women who might not be Christian, We all know about the parable about the talent. Huh? Everybody found in the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse 24, I think. But what strike me, and I imagine some of you, with this parable is the fact that the one talent man, you feel that since he got, and the word talent there refers to ability or resources that you have that can be used. And one of the lessons in that one talent business there is that don't be distracted by how much ability other people have. Use up the much or the little that you have. Because God will not be holding you for the enough ability that he gives to O'Neill or to Brother McFarley. He will be holding you responsible for how you use the little talent he gave you, or how you use the much that he gave you. Notice this now, and if you have never noticed this, it was non-productiveness. It was fruitlessness, which brought condemnation on the one talent servant. That's it. Fruit, not producing anything for the master. Are we all there? The talent received by this one talent man was never meant to be kept selfishly. Somebody didn't hear that. Only one talent me get. Look how much John get. No. But you see, God will not be judging you on the 20 talent that he gave John. He will be judging you on the one he gave you. Just use it to bring in more for him. Just step to, I think it's Matthew 25, and I think I'd said verse 24 following. Quick, brother.
Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man.
You see? Be careful how you find the excuse. Brothers and sisters, truly. We find excuse in the other brother, the other sister, the this, the that. Let us be careful that our excuse don't take us in wrong directions. Because in the first place, instead of giving thanks that the master trust him enough to give him even one talent, he is now blaming the master. His excuse he's trying to find, you know, because he was non-productive. Master, I know you.
I know thee that thou art an hard man.
You're a hard man.
Reaping.
You want to reap where you no sow.
And gathering.
You want to gather where you haven't planted.
Amen.
Wait. Watch here. All that the master expect, that call the talent money. I gave you that $1,000, that $10,000. I gave it to you to invest. When you bring it back to me, I expect something on it. That's simply the bottom line. Don't just go and hide it. But somebody can say, well, maybe bring it back to you, same way me steal it. That have nothing to do with it. You weren't give me to steal. You weren't give me to hide either. You were give me to invest. Every truth of the gospel given to you was meant to be invested. Was meant to use to reach others for Christ. There's a passage I want to bring in, but not in this lesson, because this lesson relates to about a 2 or 3 part lesson that will be shared over a period of probably the next few weeks, because we are launching out on a Wednesday, we will be launching out on a Wednesday night evangelistic self-taught lesson. And it is to tease up in us a truth that we need to be mindful of. Even the passage I want to go in Kings, I let that one stay. But in this, read, brother.
And I was afraid.
I was afraid.
And went and hid thy talent in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Lo, there thou hast that is thine.
You get it? I didn't steal it. I hid it. Here you have what is yours. No, but I didn't give it back to get it back like that. I gave it to you, trust you, and gave it to you to make something on it. Brothers and sisters, the same expectation Christ has that of us. Now, the gospel is treasure. It is to be invested in souls. When you are benefit from the gospel by being enlightened about where sin will ultimately take you, and when you escape the ultimate destination and payday of sin, the Almighty God expects you that whatever your calling in life, whatever your profession, whatever your vocation in life, that you'll always find time to seek to lead others to Christ. It's not a second important thing. It is priority in God's sight. You didn't stop. You didn't finish, brother.
The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant.
You notice how the word wicked is used completely different from we use it. Because the way we use the word wicked is when a man go around raping and killing and shooting and robbing people and killing them. That's the wicked person. No. For God, the wicked brother or sister is the one who is not productive for Christ. One who is not using up the gospel of Christ the way it ought to be used. Here you have it in the one talent man, Matthew chapter 25. Let me rush. Wait, some more is said, dear brother. Quick.
Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury.
You see, you should have gotten some interest on my money. When Christ invests in you, invest in others what he has invested in you. The gospel. Oh, Lord. Just quick, and the lesson is yours. There are 3 degrees. A fruit bearing, 3 degrees of fruit bearing. I don't know if I'll have much time to come in, but let's just listen to the passage in the book of St. John, chapter 15, verse 2.
every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
That's verse 2. Okay, I'm going to ask the brother to read it again.
Every
verse
branch.
Verse 2, 1, you have fruit. That's verse 2.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
1, 2. More
fruit.
Fruit, verse 8 now.
Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
Much. You see the degree in fruit bearing? The brother read verse 2, fruit. Then there is the progression, more fruit. Then there's yet more progression, much fruit. And this shows that even when you and I reach a point where we believe we are doing so much for Christ, in whatever area, it might be the area of evangelism, which is so important. Let's say this past week, you were influential in leading 10 people to Christ. Are we all there? Just in 1 week. Because of your effort, your prayer, your life, your using of religious literature at your workplace and inviting people to come and listen to the gospel. In that 1 week, you led 10 people to Christ. Wait, you must not get the fan and say, Lord, I'm tired now. 10 of them lead to Christ this week. You know, we can take a break. No. The more you do for Christ, the more you should encourage to do more. The more you do for Christ is the more you should encourage to do more. I would like to comment more verse 5 and verse 8, but time is gone. Notice this. I had asked the question, how does this relate to the fruit of the Spirit in St. John? Notice verse 16, I think verse 16, in the same passage.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit...
Wait. You should go
and bring forth fruit.
From all indication, that very statement is indicative of evangelism. You should go and bring. It's telling us that at least part of what Christ has in mind in this passage that speaks so much about fruit bearing is where we try to bring others in the fold, do everything in our power to be productive for Christ. Because there are many things in this lesson you must not forget. In fact, if you can remember everything, don't forget the parable of the one talent man. It was because of non-productiveness. The blessings he received, instead of using it to bring glory to his master, he kept it selfishly. You must not miss the lesson 2 in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. What is expected of the earth when it gets nourishment and mineral from the rain? It is expected to be productive. You must not miss either the expected productiveness that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 tells about. That God does not want us to be unfruitful people. Every child of God, brothers and sisters, let me just drop this right here. Within the next few weeks or months, we are hoping to launch out on some 1 hour street meeting. That's not new. That's not new. It's because of the COVID for 2 years or more now, we have not engaged in any of that. Where we meet at places like Sherlock for just a hour, sing, song, lively choruses, and give out literature and invite people to Christ, help them to understand their need for Him. Now, the more of us turn up at those evangelistic events, is the more we impress upon the mind of those that we are trying to invite something positive. But a lot of times, many of us, I'm not talking about the elderly and the sickly, but many of us, sometimes we feel we have so many other important things to do that's not my business. My God, if you are a Christian, it is your business. I said, if you are a Christian. And all the things we have studied this morning about being productive and the curse that in so many places is dished out by God for those who are not productive for Christ. We encourage you never to forget these lessons. The last statement is that, remember this, with the fig tree, it is the expectation. The expectation of fruit or productiveness, it is that expectation which allows the fig tree to occupy the ground. It is that expectation of productiveness which allow the fig tree to absorb the nourishment. It is that expectation of being productive that allow the fig tree to benefit from the toil that the gardener put out. It is because those responsible expect the fig tree to respond to all that is being done to it by being productive. Why it was allowed to get all those attention. When we take up a lesson like this again, we will be looking on the statement on the other fig tree, another different lesson. Cut it down, why does it cumber the ground? What does that mean? In another lesson. Are you here this morning? You're not a child of God. You can place yourself under Jesus' management. Yeah? You're here today as a young man, a young woman, middle age, upper age, whatever. you can place yourself under Christ's management so that he can take over your life and start giving it direction, right direction. And that God can start using you. And you do not know the mighty ways in which Jesus Christ can start using your life. But you must first give him entrance in your life through obedience. That is faith, repentance, and baptism. We're about to stand and sing a song. The song is sung to the glory and honor of Jesus' name. But it is a very good chance for you to step forward and give Jesus Christ a chance in your life. Let us stand.